direct. From Guano Productions headquarters in the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. It's like honey in your ear holes.
Welcome back to The Superiority Complex, everyone. Your new favorite podcast. We got a full house today. We're very excited. We have the lovely Justine, of course, her beau, the handsome Patrick, my left-hand man. Well, he's using my right-hand man, but he's on my left today.
You don't want to be the right hand.
The incomparable.
The less more fun.
That's the hand I wipe with. The incomparable John Sandy.
Hi.
And at the boards, manning the ones and twos, the sliders, the dials and knobs, Mr. Rene Bravo.
Hello.
John, I have a question. We have a question from a listener, John. And by the way, you may hear someone pipe up once in a while with a little question or a comment or a laugh. That is our friend Jenna. Jenna is part of our board game group sometimes, but she's also John Sandy's number one fan.
Amen.
And she wanted to come and do the podcast just because the last time she had time to come, John was not available. John was not here that day.
That's right.
So she didn't even come in. She's like, nope, I don't care.
I'm out.
She's just here for John Sandy. How do you feel about that, John?
Too much pressure. It's only one fan, but too much pressure.
You have a lot of fans.
A lot of things under pressure.
So I was just going to say that.
What is good? I lost my train of thought.
Under pressure.
It's still boarding at the station. Hey, Renee, thank you for all your work. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jenna, thank you for sitting there and not saying anything. So let's get on with the show. I have a listener question, John.
Yes.
Why don't I like Rush?
You're asking the wrong guy. I don't like Rush.
That's what I said.
Why? After 20 years, I've gotten to the point where I won't change the station if they come on the radio. It's like I've come a long way from like running to the dial. No, to okay, it's all right. Am I still on? Okay, here we go. So yeah, I don't know.
It's
Geddy Lee. I'll tell you why. It's Geddy Lee. The voice is too high.
Is that what it is?
A pretty good band, but the voice is just like nails on a chalkboard, you know?
Is that what it is? Then why don't I like Styx?
Exact same reason. Nails on a chalkboard.
Music therapy with John Sandy. Jenna,
why don't you like the Beatles?
Why
don't you like the Beatles? I've never been able to figure out.
Thank you.
And I always say the same thing. Oh, you just haven't heard the right album. You know, it's like, and Mark is like, I've heard every album. I still don't like the Beatles.
Somebody online said that Bran Stark is somehow all of the Beatles
all
at the same
Beatles.
Time.
Yeah. That's right. He's got the George haircut, and he's got the John eyes, and he's got the, yeah.
The AV Club, Onion AV Club, said that now that he's back, he's basically your annoying little cousin who just tried pot for the first time.
Yeah, you can tell Sophie had enough of him after like 5 seconds. She hasn't seen him in years. After 5 seconds, she's all, well, I got to go now.
Yeah.
I'm a three-eyed raven. She's all, well, huh?
Yeah.
And I saw you on your wedding night. Well, I got to go now.
He's the Beatles when they came back from India and Tibet.
Right. And they're all, what?
Yeah.
You're going to what now?
That's kind of gross. She had two brothers watching her.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Well, Theon's not actually a brother.
He's Theon's not a brother.
He's a stepbrother, half-brother.
Still gross. They
you mean
both
Reek?
Watched. Yeah.
I know people at work all, you mean Reek? Well, I think he's Theon again. I guess when he jumped overboard, he became Reek again.
Yeah.
He was Theon until he jumped over the ship.
Reek's back.
Well, let's jump into that right away. Let's do our, we have two, we missed last week, so I apologize for that. I know many of you,
there were riots in the street.
Hang on our every word. But I hope you enjoyed me.
They're like, you're still on the air? No.
We did a flashback to our, just on the Twitter, I just put a link to our episode number 69 with Pat Francis, which, if you haven't heard it, is a great, great interview with Pat, who's a great guy. So please check that out. He's the host of the Rock Solid podcast. Oh, before we get into Game of Thrones, Sci-Fi Drive-In podcast, check them out. Discovered them through our friends over at the Home Video Hustle. Sci-Fi Drive-In podcast, they do a show it's basically a double feature. So for their first episode, their very first episode, their double feature was they discussed Tremors one episode, and then they discovered the 1950s sci-fi classic Them on another episode.
That was just on Turner. The other,
yeah.
I can't anytime that's on, I have to watch it. You go, how many times can you watch this about giant ants?
I love it.
I can't, because it's also great.
That whole first 30 minutes is like this weird mystery where you're trying to figure out what happened to this little girl who's wandering out in the desert.
It's really well done. If you're gonna do a giant ant movie, that's the way to do it.
God, we gotta watch it. I'm a sucker for 50s giant
ants. And, you know, nothing that followed that was really quite as good. You know, Tarantula, the Black Scorpion, they're all like, I've seen it, you know.
By the way, thank you for this, Patrick. It is ordered from Amazon.
You're welcome.
I'm so sorry. August 1st, yesterday, was the release date for Shin Godzilla here in the United States.
Really? I thought that wasn't going to come out. That's great.
It released on Blu-ray and DVD, and nice. I think I got the combo set, so I'll lend you the DVD.
Oh, that's great. I didn't think that was ever coming to America.
It is basically, if you haven't seen it, I did a review of it last year, but it's basically, Godzilla is basically just a stand-in for the Fukushima nuclear disaster, as odd as that sounds. But it's also kind of...
He's got to stand in for the atom bomb in the first one.
Exactly.
So he's always sort of a metaphor, you know.
And he's really not in it a lot, although he is in it more than the Gareth Edwards Godzilla. And he's not fighting any other monsters. He's just being
Godzilla.
This menace.
Yeah.
Godzilla!
But I am not kidding. Two-thirds of the movie is just the Japanese bureaucracy trying to deal with him. And that, to me, is so fascinating.
Yeah.
How would a modern government deal with a disaster of that size?
I want to see this thing.
There's endless bureaucracy and red tape that has to be done, even to get the smallest thing going. There's endless...
So it's true to life.
It's true to life.
You saw it in the theater.
I saw it in the theater.
And Patrick, you saw it in the theater?
No, I haven't seen it, but I was keeping an eye out for it. Okay. For Mario.
I will bring the Blu-ray in I will lend it to you guys. It's great. And the Godzilla effects are really great. He's really great, really menacing.
Is this Toho?
It is Toho.
So there you go. He's back home.
It is Toho.
Back home.
Toho Studios. Mm. All right, so that give the sci-fi... Sci-fi, I think it's... I want to get the title right. Let me get...
Gonna do a shout-out, do it right.
Here we go.
Sci-fi hustle.
Capital S.
That should be on all the commercials.
Sorry, Sci-fi hustle. PJ. So sorry.
I love their videos. So funny to watch.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Please tune in. Our friends at Home Video Hustle they have a video every week. They're going to pick the video they're going to watch that week, and they pick it out of a bag, randomly out of a bag, and it's really funny. Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In Podcast is the name of it, and it's Alyssa and Jarrett are your hosts. And you can follow them on Twitter at... They just tweeted at me. Actually, they tweeted at Home Video. Sorry for this. This is good radio. Sci-Fi DF Drive-In Pod is their Twitter handle. Sci-Fi DF Drive-In Pod. That was a terrible shout-out, but it's a good show. Check it out. And the show on Tremors is great. I liked all the talk about Fred Ward's wonky eye. What?
This is the one with Kevin Bacon,
Kevin
right?
Bacon,
the first one, yeah.
But they really delve into it. They just do one episode about how, you know...
Actually, the first one wasn't bad. It's that, you know, they did like five more, you know, straight to video. Sort of Tremors 5, Tremors 6, you know?
So if you guys saw my wife was gone last week, and I posted, like, what was going on in my life. You guys missed some
great... Your laundry?
My face... I did a Facebook Live video of my laundry. But...
and his racquetball experiences.
What I did was I bought... I didn't tell everybody the whole story. That Fast and the Furious, they had a whole... They had parts 1 through 8. And it was my brother's birthday. So that was actually his birthday gift. Mm. And what I did was, because he doesn't have the internet like John Sandy, I said... Do you want the digital copies? And he's like, what do I want these for? So I took the digital copies home, and I can tell you this. I was like, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to watch this.
Really?
I slammed this for so long. I want to see what the fuss is about.
And you hadn't seen any of them?
I had seen the first one.
Okay, long ago, 20 years ago.
Yeah,
I haven't seen any of them either.
Me neither.
Okay, now this is something I can actually talk about.
Now let me tell you this. I will tell you that a week after finishing the first one, which I had seen already, and almost a week after starting Too Fast, Too Furious, I feel like I've reached my logical end with this.
Oh, you can't make it to the third one.
I can't even get through part two.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I'm 10 minutes into part two.
You can't get to the third one.
Was two in Tokyo?
No, that's two.
Three.
It's two is the one with Ludacris.
Tokyo Drift.
Okay, yeah.
Too Fast, Too Furious. Do you like those movies, Jenna?
Yeah, but I could watch them on mute and enjoy them just the same.
Can you kill that mic, please?
Can you
that's
do
interesting.
That, like,
you don't need any audio for
Furious.
Those, I guess.
I'm going to struggle through them. I'm going to get through them.
I only saw... It's not, I saw Tokyo because someone kept telling me, you look like that girl. I'm like, what's this girl? I just don't know who she was.
You kind of look like her, though.
I just said she was Asian, and you're just saying I look like her because she's Asian. Just like how everyone says I look like the girl from Wonder Years.
Winnie Cooper?
Yeah. They're like, you look like Winnie. I'm like, you don't know any Asians.
You do kind of look like Winnie. I knew a girl at work. I used to work with a girl that would look exactly like Winnie Cooper.
Was it her?
No, but she looked exactly.
Yeah,
it would have been a better story.
And you know what? It was Winnie Cooper.
It's the only reason why I watched that Tokyo one is to see who the girl was.
And who was that actress?
Well, she pulled off her mask, and it was Martin Landau. rest in peace.
I don't know her name. She's also in the Bruno Mars music video, too. I just don't know her name.
Did I get a chance? Well, let's talk about Game of Thrones and then remind me to tell you guys about the Mystery Science Theater live show, because I don't think we had a chance to talk about that.
We did not.
Cool, okay. That you went.
It was fantastic. Oh. All right. So we have two episodes of Game of Thrones to catch up on. Jenna is not a Game of Thrones listener, but let's just dive right into it, guys. All right. And you don't mind us spoiling anything for you?
No, I'm catching up on Wikipedia right now.
What's the name of the episode? What is the name of episode two? What was the name of
last season?
No.
This season?
This season, yeah. Because we're on episode three. We just finished episode. What was the name of episode two?
Fire and Ice.
Bloodstone? Was it Bloodstone?
Moonstone was one of them.
One of them was Fire and
Dragon
Ice.
Something or other.
That was the first one, I think.
Dragonstone?
Dragonstone, yeah.
I don't remember.
Dragonstone, and then the next one was Stormborn.
Yeah.
And then the Queen's Justice. Yes.
Okay, so Stormborn was 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
So let's start there.
Wait, spoiler alert.
Of course.
Leave the room.
Leave the room. If you're gonna be, if you're not,
if
fans.
You're 2 weeks behind,
you need to be spoiled.
Yeah,
that's true. If you're really a fan,
I should be spoiled anyway.
Go spoil yourself. They just caught us all up in that episode.
Yeah,
like I didn't even know where to go from there.
This season is moving so much faster than I expected.
So much better.
I was expecting it to just kind of drag out and do everything in the last episode.
But they got
to
tie up everything. They got so many people.
My problem with this season: the episodes are over too quick.
Yeah,
it's a blink of an eye where you're just like, okay, don't stop, and then it's bam, credits roll.
There's
and you're
a couple.
Just like,
wow, yeah, I know somebody else who has that complaint in this room.
Whoa,
hey,
not cool.
I want John.
Mario saw me laugh.
John, you know what? You just did. You just did the equivalent of a Larry Fine, where you're. You're not really committing because you don't want to get in the line of fire, but you're like, hey, leave him alone.
Hey, you want some too?
leave him alone.
Hey, what the hey?
At least one of us finished.
Hey!
Bazinga.
And in this sort of race, there's no prize for coming in second.
That's how we do it in Chicago.
Yeah.
You send them to the morgue.
That's right. That's it. Whoa, hello. Hey.
Rabbit hole.
No, didn't take much, just Sean Connery.
Yeah. So, I don't remember anything about episode two, so somebody pick it up and take it away.
It's just all the moves that they were doing. They said it, and it was all coming to... Like, just everything you knew that was going to happen, happened in that episode.
Episode two had the destruction of the fleet.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It was this big setup episode that immediately began to pay off at the very... Because... They had this plan. We're going to go to...
Yeah, they set it all up.
We're going to take Casterly Rock. Mm-hmm. We're going to sail the fleet here.
And then Tyrion just keeps failing.
And here comes Euron, and...
Euron?
Isn't that his name?
Euron.
Euron. Here comes Euron.
Wow. Euron.
Yeah.
Euron.
He makes his appeal to the queen. And then, how annoying does Euron have to be that you're kind of like siding with Jaime Lannister, where you're like, boy, I hope Jaime kills this guy.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah. I'm already wishing he would kill him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I thought everyone's hearts turned for... what's his name? Jamie, after a while.
For sure.
I did.
He's come a long way. He's come a long way.
Yeah. I will tell you what.
I don't think people hate
him. He's not the bad guy since season two.
Let's throw a theory out there because you're your cousin has been sending me theories because she loves Game of Thrones theories. She's like, you guys need to talk about more theories. I'm going to come up with one on my own. And tell me if you guys think this is crap or not. And it's not a spoiler because we're putting a theory out. I think Jaime Lannister is going to kill Cersei in the form of Arya. Mm. I think Arya is going to take Jaime's form and kill him.
Interesting. Oh, and imagine at what moment
she can only take the form of someone she kills.
That's what he's saying. She's going to kill him.
Isn't
he on the list?
He's on the list.
He's on the list. That's a great theory.
We still don't,
because that's a great way to find out Jaime's dead, is if you don't actually see it.
That would be something. I hate to see Jaime go, though. I do.
What?
My heart turned.
He's the one that let Tyrion out of prison. He saved Brienne from the bear. It's just, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. He's come a long way, and you find out why he killed the Mad King. I think, much more sympathetic character now.
I think everyone had a change of heart.
Yeah.
All right, I'm on board. I'm on team J. You guys haven't convinced me.
No.
He's become a real interesting character.
Now Arya's heading to Winterfell.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he's got a hand in this fight anymore.
Hey!
Well, not that hand. He doesn't have a leg.
He'll never be Hand of the King now.
These dad jokes.
You guys are a handful.
Oh, that was fun.
Oh, yeah. So, end of episode 2, Arya, we actually don't know if she's still on her way to Winterfell anymore.
She did meet with Meat Pie. She got to meet Meat Pie.
What's his name? Hot Pockets?
Hot Pie.
Porkins.
Which he has a bakery, in real life.
Say that.
Oh, really? God.
And, like, he's doing, like, Dire Wolf themed things, and they're selling like crazy. It's
cool.
You got to see Arya meet her Dire Wolf again?
Well, that's the point I'm talking about. I don't think she's... I think before she met with Nymeria, she was well on her way to Winterfell. But after that, I don't think so. I think she Nymeria made her realize... Yeah. You know, I should be doing what I set out to do, not going and running
somebody,
to family.
There was a little bit of confusion, and I got confused initially when she says the line, "It's not you."
Oh, no, yeah.
And then somebody went back and explained it's a reference to the conversation she had
with her dad back in season one. They explained that in the credits scene when they talked about
back. What
the
was
next
the line?
Episode.
Yeah,
they had to explain
she said,
that.
You know, he said, "You'll be a lady and you'll have a castle over your house someday," and she said, "That's not me."
Yeah, you just have to stay to the end of Game of Thrones, because then they do the behind the scenes and they show that whole clip of why they do that.
And you know what's funny?
They don't do it if you watch it in real time. The first I think only when they rerun it do they put that at the end.
We watch it online,
guys. So. I'm watching it on East Coast time, like 6 o'clock Sunday. I can't wait for the 9 o'clock.
So
if I go back and rewatch it, that's right. They go behind.
They
the
go
scene.
And they talk about the episode.
Behind the episode,
so they showed that whole scene.
You know what's funny? That scene should have stuck with me, because I remember when she said the line, "That's not me." That's such a non. It doesn't fit with the rest of the language in the show. That's like a really modern saying.
Yeah.
It's like whenever you see somebody in the, like, now in the, like, I think they do it in like, it might be like King Kong Skull and Kong Skull or something. Somebody says, "You need to chill." And it's like, nobody said chill in the 70s. Uh-huh. Like, that's not.
Yeah, yeah.
You hear it, and it's like, no, that's a little out of place.
Yeah.
So when she said, "That's not me," it's like saying, it's like if edited just said, "Do you. You do you." Like, no, they would never have said that.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's in a fantasy world. So that line should have stuck with me. But I guess, they wanted to bring something back. So it was it was memorable for that reason, I guess.
Yeah,
so
it was good.
Maybe there's a reason for it.
So, I don't think she's on her way to Winterfell anymore. I think she turned around again.
We don't know.
I think she's going back and following her original decisions, because she, with Nymeria there, she realized, you know, she's not a lady of the house. She's a wolf. She's a dire wolf. She's meant to go out and be a killer.
She's hungry like the wolf.
Yeah, and it's a... And the pack is supposed to take a bigger role in the fight against the White Walkers. They're supposed to be a powerful weapon.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. It's in the books.
But we're not doing everything that's in the books.
Yeah, I don't know. So I don't know how much they're going to do with it, but like, it's a pretty integral part.
I read an article because I guess I didn't read the books. I guess the direwolves are around more and a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they killed them off was because...
CGI.
Yeah.
It's too hard to animate the
dragon
fur.
Dragon or wolf.
Yeah. The dragons are easier to animate because they're scales.
Fur is it's tough. Like Pixar, they said,
Sully.
Yeah, doing Sully, they said, my God, you had a whole fleet of guys just doing the fur on Sully.
Is that why we don't see Ghost anymore?
I think so.
Damn it.
I think so.
Damn it.
Bye, Jenna. Oh, she's not leaving.
Well, he's also...
I just can't see John.
He's in the wilds. Yeah, he's at the wall right now, I think.
Yeah, he's at the
wall. I'm going to switch at the break. We're going to take a break, and I'm going to switch, because Jenna wants to sit next to John.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. Is that the real reason?
Yeah, it really is. It really is. She can't see you.
Your head is blocking.
My head is enormous.
Oh, that's why you were doing this. You were going.
It's all that brain.
She's handsy, though.
Okay.
Unlike Jamie.
Perfect.
Well, you know, you got to hand it to him.
Hello.
Hey, it's a great show.
I thought that joke was beneath you.
Give her a hand. Give her a hand.
Oh.
What? Give her a hand. No? Hello?
You're like, I just made a hand joke.
I just made a hand joke.
It was one too many.
So, continuing on with episode two.
Hey, first of all, I put the show back
on. You've been too long, so you know.
My mic is dangly.
Stop
dingling your dangly.
Flaccid?
Yeah, it's limp.
I got a limp mic.
It's not the only thing.
Hello. Oh, there we go. Okay, no, I don't like it. I don't like it.
Well, it's not going to be your mic much longer anyway, because you're switching mics.
John, you might not want to swap with him.
Okay, all right. Okay. What's the story?
All right. Morning Glory.
Yes.
And the second one is when they're cutting, right?
Yes. So the second episode ends with Samwise cutting the shit out of Jorah Mormont, and it's amazing.
Oh, that's a hell of a thing.
He's like a really good-looking older man, I have to say.
They need to stop relating everything Sam does with food. I can't take it.
Yeah,
I
every scene.
My appetite with this show. Every single time.
It really
cuts into the food, and then you see porridge right after. You're just like,
yeah,
oh,
we were eating dinner, and I was like, I have to eat this fast before the show starts, because I can't.
Because I know as soon as Sam comes on, he's
going to happen.
He's going to, like, you know, lance a boil or something.
Exactly.
Like, hey, I was eating here. Hey.
So, episode two, he attempts to save Jorah Mormont. Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Does it in a very...
Oh, and Tyrion tells Daenerys to send for Jon Snow.
Yeah.
Which was huge.
So he can bend the knee.
Yes.
Yeah.
To bend the knee. I thought that was cool.
And then...
It's going to be hard to bend the knee if
you know. And then... What is it?
We had the last scene.
Grey Worm.
Oh, yeah.
Grey Worm's finally getting some action.
Ken Barbie doll?
As much as...
If you missed those scissors you used to use in kindergarten, there's a scene in this episode for you.
I have those scissors.
Nothing? The scissors?
You see what I post, like, the day after?
Why are you guys mad?
It shows Grey Worm as a Ken doll.
Like, so messed up.
I think I broke this.
But Patrick was telling me that you don't know for sure what they cut off.
So there's different types of eunuchs, obviously. There's the ones that still function down there but can't reproduce, and then there's the ones that, you know, have a hole to pee through.
I think it's
a hole to pee through. I'm assuming it's the one to pee through. That's what I thought, but I wasn't sure. So I was
you
never know.
There's a difference between a eunuch and being castrated.
True. Yeah. True.
But I think it's obvious they didn't cut off his tongue.
No.
Oh, my
Hello.
God. Yeah, so when that scene happened, right when he went down, I was like, good for her.
Did you slow it down and you're like, see? You do it.
Look at the face she's making. That's amazing.
Maybe we need to just give you a pair of scissors.
Justine said that is the luckiest woman in
the
world.
That's exactly what I said.
Look how happy she looks.
Oh, I was like, they're always going to have the best time. Nova.
One of them will.
Wait. I'm getting a sense that this... Is this something that's... Should this be the topic?
This should be the topic.
And the next board game is stuff we wish we would do more.
Dang. Stuff we wish we would do more.
I'm figuring this out. I'm finding it out.
That was
through
good.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Tongues.
We're peeling through the layers like the
onions.
Like
the, yeah. Onions. I'm never going to stop playing this mic until I've got it.
Okay.
Yeah, keep going, guys. Okay. Keep going. Just go with that.
And that was episode two. That was it.
Go on. No, you missed the end.
Was that the last shot of episode two, or was it?
No,
episode one, I mean.
The end of episode two. What happened?
That
guys.
Was Arya.
Yeah, we already said
the
when
fleet.
They were cutting.
We said that. The fleet gets destroyed. We said that right at the beginning.
You were too busy playing.
No. But that's the end of the episode. You guys have to acknowledge that it was awesome.
Kind of upset me that the daughters got killed off.
Oh,
I know they were
things?
Killing people, but they should have showed that they were doing more than that.
Justine was upset about it. She missed it.
You guys really keep talking.
She almost got a nice lesbian scene, and she's a little upset about that.
I was
she was pretty upset.
Now that rude. That's like a really
that
weird...
was a good little line. There's going to be a foreign invasion happening. I was like,
yeah, that was quite the interruption, wasn't it?
Right?
It's like, at what? It's
like, yeah. Eruption.
Eruption.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
That was kind of funny of how he was like going down the uncle. He was like, as soon as the ladder's going down,
he's like a pirate.
It was good to see him like that, though.
And then at the end of the episode, we had the return of Reek.
Yes.
Theon Greyjoy is dead. He's not coming
he's
back.
He's definitely dead to me.
He's not coming back.
Just jumping
and
off.
It's so funny, too, because like right at like the start of the season, I was like, okay, cool. I have some hope for Theon that, you know, he might be able to redeem himself and do something good.
And we see him fight in there, and we're like, okay.
He's doing fine.
He's fighting.
It's hard to imagine that he's ever going to be normal again.
He's not.
After what he's seen and what he's been through, how could he ever be normal
again?
Isn't
that the thing, though? You know? They just wanted to be more
I think it's more realistic that he's never going to be the same.
You know what people keep saying? They keep saying... For them to keep him around this long, there's going to have to be some moment where he redeems himself and saves somebody. Why would you keep him around this long?
I think he already did that with Sansa, though. That was it. That was his moment.
It's kind of amazing. He's still sort of shuffling along. And there's people I work with that go, you know, maybe he's going to do something really dramatic, like save Sansa again. Or the ultimate sacrifice, save somebody.
He's going to have to do something bigger than last time.
You don't think he'll save his sister?
Get a magic wing.
I don't know. They just said, you shouldn't rule anything out. Because that'd be the craziest guy to make it to the end, you know?
Yeah. What if he's the guy that makes it?
I know. On the throne.
He'd be the one hiding behind that throne.
Now, what's the other long shot? They said the other really long shot was...
What's his name? Littlefinger.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. That's what he's shooting for, but that's not going
to
happen.
I'm waiting for him to die. Yeah. He just needs to go.
I think John... You know when John strangled him in the catacombs?
Yes.
Yeah, it was so
and
good.
Said, hands off my sister while I'm gone?
Well, that was second episode. That was second episode. That's the other thing
I
forgot.
I think he should have just put a sword through him.
Yeah.
Because who would know? I mean, it wouldn't start anything. He'd just go, I don't know, where is he? He's like all the way down there in the catacombs.
See, the problem is it's John, though. That's not John.
It's John. But anybody else would have gone, this guy's going to be trouble, and we can't trust him.
I think it's funny that Littlefinger, you see the look on his face, he's like, another fucking Stark is strangling the shit out of me.
Yeah. But then when he leaves, he's all grinning like
this. John to say, you're a funny man.
Well, I'm pretty sure Brienne is going to kill him.
I don't think Brienne's paying enough attention.
Oh, yeah,
yes, she is.
That's weird.
She
Brienne said, is there, but you don't see much of her. She's kind of around there, isn't she?
But I think she's pretty much watching over Sansa. Said it, too.
I think the bigger concern is what's going on with Podrick.
No,
that's nothing's happening with Podrick.
Something good.
We saw Podrick
there.
That one time in episode 2, and that was it. Like,
and then didn't we also see the Hound looking into the flames in episode 2?
That was amazing.
Or was that episode 1?
That was episode 2.
1.
Was it?
I don't remember.
Buries those two, the father and the daughter, when he buries them, wasn't that a house that they'd come across when he was traveling with Arya?
He stole from them, and that's what killed them. He stole their money so they couldn't survive. And that's what killed him.
I was trying to remember what happened in that episode. I knew they stopped and had dinner with them.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's why he feels so guilty.
He took the money.
He feels so guilty.
Holy Moses.
He's going to have a moment.
It's amazing he's still around. You know what I mean? After being pushed off that cliff.
Wasn't the Hound on Arya's list?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
But she thinks he's dead, doesn't she?
No. Yes. Oh, Arya thinks he's
dead. She walked away.
She pushed him off the cliff. Yeah. And he said, kill me. And she went, no. Because you're going to bleed to death. You're at the bottom of a cliff.
She thinks he's dead.
He really looked like he was on his last
two
minutes of breath there. Yeah, it's amazing.
And then McShane brought him back to life.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amazing
Mr.
stuff.
Mr. Wednesday brought him back to life.
Episode 3.
All right, you guys ready for episode 3?
Okay.
Yes.
Episode 3!
You finally got people meeting that the entire show's gone by without them meeting, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you finally saw Fire and Ice meet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Arya. And I'm kidding. Daenerys and Jon Snow.
Yeah, how about that?
Jon Snow.
Finally. I was more excited about the reunion with Jon Snow and Tyrion. That was awesome.
That was fun to watch.
Cool. I like that one.
Yeah, the opening line was great, you know. Yeah.
He's king of the North.
The last time I saw you were pissing off the top of the wall.
It's true.
Yeah.
So long ago.
Yeah.
All those characters are now coming together. And, you know, we've heard so much. I liked, you know, they're kind of... Now that Daenerys is on the mainland of Westeros and things are moving.
And losing all of her
people.
Yeah.
Armies.
She's still got the dragons. I don't even blame those moves on Tyrion. You know, how could you see that coming?
the Dothraki.
I think the big thing for her is that her whole game plan is she's trying to take it without, you know, thousands and thousands
that's
of dead.
Right.
And
bloodshed,
I think
But you saw the coming attractions clip where she goes, enough fighting clever.
Yeah.
Enough clever ideas.
Well, I think she's kind of realizing the point that...
I got the dragons.
Be a dragon.
The Tyrell told her to be a dragon.
Yeah.
So that's she's right. going to have to.
Lady right. Tyrell. Lady Tyrell. With the,
we'll talk about that.
The Bond girl?
That's at the end.
She was a Bond girl.
Yeah. She was one of my favorite Bond girls.
She was the best thing on the Avengers. You ever see the Avengers in the cat, the black cat suit? It's amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, get that. Get on YouTube right now. I want to see a picture of her in the Avengers. Yeah.
Emma Peel.
And then she does the Bond movie, and she's like the best Bond girl of all time because that's the one he marries. She's the only one who's smart enough to survive. Theoretically, she should have survived being married to James Bond, but that's a good one.
That was a good way out, telling him that she killed his son.
Oh, finally she reveals she killed Joffrey.
And what a way to do it.
Yeah.
She's already taken the poison. It's like, there's nothing you can do now, you know.
Lady Tyrell back
Let's see. Is that from the Avengers? Yep, that's her. Why?
It was just funny. He's like, yeah, I did it.
She takes the poison.
And he can't even do anything
first
anymore.
Of all, she finds out, you know, she's like, oh, okay, you're not going to suffer. I made sure.
Yeah.
Like, even that wasn't enough. She's like, okay, cool, thanks.
Yeah.
Drinks it, like, just guzzles it, and then is like, oh, guess what?
I'd hate to go the way your son went.
Yeah.
Clawing at his throat, turning purple.
It's the first time I used poison.
Yeah.
I didn't know it would do that. I was like, damn!
Yep. She's gotten people out of her way in the past.
Gosh.
Now, was that a reveal, or did we know that she had done that?
It had been suspected. Well,
didn't she tell Marjorie?
Yeah, for the longest time,
we knew. She told Marjorie, but no one else in the universe
knew. Yeah, she did tell Marjorie that she did it.
Yeah. And so it was a big reveal because they thought that Tyrion was the one who did it, and that's why he got chased off.
And that's the thing. Everyone's going, okay, now think of that. Jaime's thinking, God, if it wasn't for that, Tyrion wouldn't have been imprisoned to begin with.
Yeah, his father would still be alive.
Everything happened because of that.
Yep. And what's her name's husband? Boyfriend.
Yeah, but it also makes Jaime realize she was smart to do it. She knew she was going to die, but she's also forcing Jaime's hand to say, look at what your sister did.
Yeah.
Look how crazy she is. She really is. I'm evil.
Yeah.
I did what I did, but she's crazy. You know,
what'd she say? She's a disease. And
you want
to stop? She's got a great quote here that I just looked up because I don't watch the show.
Go ahead. What is the quote?
She said, I regret my role in spreading it. You will too.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And then she said something like, you've already come too far. And he sort of like shrugs and go, yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I mean, here I am. I'm still...
Lady O.
I don't know, but you know, it's
like
funny. I think what's going to happen is Jaime will tell Cersei, and she won't care. She'll still say she wants Tyrion dead.
I don't know if he's going to have the stones to do
it. She pulled a con. She's like, I'm going to blow up this Genesis device. Like you got me, but from hell's heart, I stab at thee.
Yeah, because this is going to change the way Tyrion, the way that Jaime looks at Cersei.
I spit my last breath at thee. That's literally she from a Melville novel.
That's one of the best finishes for any character.
I think too
on Game of Thrones.
She went out on her own terms.
Yeah, the only one that I can think of that really to the end just said.
I think Jaime's going to have even more sympathy for Tyrion now too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And I think it's his weak spot, too.
Because he let him out thinking he did do it.
Yes.
It was a great move on her part. I think that's going to have, like I'm saying, it was a genius move. She's still a genius strategy because she's forcing Jaime to choose between brother and sister.
So to the end.
Yeah. And she knows, she probably knows he has a soft spot. You know, she knows.
Oh, she knew he let him go.
She knew she was only going to be able to play that game so long.
Yeah.
And she made it so that even if she died, she was going to have the most possible impact.
It's just amazing. That final move, her last breath, she's making the moves, you know? Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
She's probably my favorite character on the show.
Wow. Great character.
I like her a lot.
Hate to see her go, too.
I just loved it. Once you can't squirt the milk up the udders once they've been milked. That's what she tells.
I don't remember that.
In other words, like saying this.
You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Yeah, it's her way of saying there's no crying over spilt milk, but she says, you can't squirt the milk back up the udders. Like, that's so good. Such a great way to say it. I like that she was a little bit crass.
Yeah.
Because she married into that family.
Yes.
You know, she's not.
Right.
But that was, I knew something was up when she promised the bank that they would have their money because the Tyrells have all the money.
I was wondering how she was going to get
the
money.
Yeah, the Tyrells have all the money.
As soon as Casterly Rock, they're like, where the fuck are all the...
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I know
the
where
the Lannisters. It's like, oh, okay, I got it.
They went to, you know...
Which, that was a super smart move on their part, is the fact that, you know, basically they took the Unsullied off the board, pretty much, because there's not much they can do. They're theoretically stranded on the mainland Westeros, which is not good.
Fun times.
So what's going to happen to Grey Worm, then?
They'll fight their way out. It's just a matter of getting communicating with the rest of the army.
Mouth gets a break.
Hello.
He's going to eat his way out.
Hello.
Sorry, folks.
That was good.
You set me up. I had to do it.
Damn.
No CMJ.
Straight line.
What's the time, buddy?
Silver-tongued devil.
What should I answer?
Bravo. Huh? Well
played. What should I answer? Real time, or you want me to answer? Time to get
What's the time?
Okay, 35.
You just say it's time to get ill, so I'm going to give it a pass. So, okay. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have some movie reviews. John and I saw some movies. I saw one movie. John saw another movie. And we're going to talk about it when we come back.
Okay.
Talking about it.
Taco Bunny, Taco Bunny, Taco Bunny. We'll be back. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. Now, Justine, let's set the table. Justine and Patrick have stepped out. Yes, we are. We're going.
But Renee has to walk
out. Renee has to walk out.
Yeah. Oh, but so this thing runs without Renee?
Yeah. He's just there to adjust the tones. We're already set.
Okay.
I think.
I don't think I've ever seen us do the show without somebody behind the board.
You're really nervous about this, aren't you?
No. I just have never seen it done without somebody
behind Jenna's got it.
I was going to say, I can sit there and make feel like I'm doing something.
She won't be.
I was under the impression that he's constantly...
Sometimes. Yeah. But I think it's already set.
So we're really on. Okay.
You need to get closer to that mic.
Okay, hey, how's it going?
You can pull it closer to you.
Hey, how's it going? This is the busted mic. How's it?
Jenna, no, lift the arm. There you go.
You just got to lean in.
How you doing?
Lean into it.
Lean in.
Jenna, how's this show going so far?
Well, you maybe want to watch Game of Thrones, so that's pretty good.
Yes. Hey, how about that?
How about it? So, John, you and I saw a bunch of movies.
Yeah.
Now, this movie was hyped to all get out by the guy that was sitting in this chair one moment ago. That movie is called Valerian. It's called, directed by Luc Besson.
Besson?
And
you watch it while eating a croissant?
Yeah. I told you guys, I mean, I really had the preview. Just, it looked cool, but it wasn't really doing it for me.
Yeah.
So, John, I didn't see it. You saw it. Let's give us your review.
I wanted to like it because I love The Fifth Element. And I liked Lucy with Scarlett Johansson. And those are both Luc Besson movies. I really wanted to like this. And it was really a turkey. It was you know, there's a great sequence at the beginning, and then it's really like I was checking my watch, you know, constantly. Like, is it almost over? It just wasn't very good. And part of the problem is the two leads are just kind of like, they kind of come off as two snotty kids. And it makes it's a tough slog because they're not very, you know, you're not really rooting for them, you know?
Yeah.
That's me anyway. I don't know. You know, I didn't really, have you checked to see if anybody else dug it? It got bad reviews, but how about the fans?
You're the only person I know that's seen it.
That's great. That's very telling that nobody will even.
Oh, no. There is one other person I saw that loved it, and he's a Game of Thrones. He likes to post spoilers. He knows who he is.
You know, all the eye candy looks great, but I mean, am I still not making it? How about that? Okay.
There you go. Right in there.
I mean, of course, all the visual stuff. It's like it's sensory overload. There's all kinds of that eye candy, and that looks fine. But what it is is the actors can't make it come to life, and Clive Owen's in it, and they completely waste him. You know, Clive Owen's a good actor, and he's really wasted in this. It's just a bozo bad guy.
So good special effects, but not much else.
Good special effects, but you've seen it all before. You don't need, if you're going for that. And my problem was the two leads are just kind of dopey and snotty and just not pleasant to spend 2 hours with. You know, so I don't know. I thought it was the first movie of the summer that I thought was just a real turkey. Because most of the stuff I've gone to see this summer has been pretty damn good.
And you also saw Atomic Blonde.
Yeah, which was great. I really enjoyed it. That was really good. Definitely worth catching. A lot like John Wick. It's the same director that did the first John Wick. And but Charlize Theron just is really amazing in this, and
she's always amazing in everything.
Yeah, I mean, in Mad Max, that Fury Road, she was incredible, and she. Am I still too low?
No, you're good. Keep talking.
He's turning me off.
I see. No. Anyway, so from what I've been reading, she's doing most of her own stunts.
Yeah, we were picking up the reason it sounded weird is we're picking up
all of them outside.
The other mics are on,
and they're all laughing.
And they're obviously having
a lot of
good
people
time
out there. Yeah.
Yeah. People that should be in here, but anyway, sorry.
So
Atomic Blonde.
The hype about this movie is that all the fight sequences, you know, it like John Wick, it's like wall to wall fight sequences, but it's all very believable. From what I hear, she's doing most of her own fighting and most of her own stunts, and there are some amazing set pieces. And she's just great. It just works. It's a good cast. You got John Goodman. You got some really. It's an interesting story too, because it's 1989 Berlin. It's right before the wall goes down. It's like the week that the wall was going to come down. So all this intrigue. She's over there. She's like a spy from MI6 trying to retrieve, this microfilm with all these double agents' names on it. You know, it's like a million other spy movies. There's nothing particularly original about the story. But because it's 89, they really jack up the soundtrack with a lot of those old new wave dance hits and stuff, which is believable because a lot of it is her like in the underworld. It's kind of her like in the clubs and the bars.
Oh, okay.
The clubs and the bars and a lot of,
I'm going to have to check it out.
So that's the setting. But basically it's her, it's a spy film, but it doesn't feel like a spy film because this thing is very much in the John Wick mold.
Okay.
Which is a lot of action. Some really great action sequences, not just the one in the stairwell. Everyone's talking about how this amazing sequence where she's fighting her way out of this stairwell in an apartment building, but there's some other amazing set pieces.
I'm gonna have to check it out.
So definitely worth catching. Definitely.
I will.
And the most interesting soundtrack this side of Baby Driver.
Okay.
Not quite as dense, but it is. It's a very very. Very well done soundtrack.
The previews didn't do a lot to convince me that it was the 80s, so maybe that's why I felt like maybe it.
Well, because it's the 90s.
What's that? 89.
That's what I'm saying. It's basically.
Well, you know how
90s.
The decades work.
No, but the 90s don't really become the 90s till like 93, 94.
Like the 60s, they always say the 60s didn't start till 64.
Yeah.
The 50s didn't start till 55. You know, you don't a decade usually. Doesn't find itself till you're about 3 years in,
Yeah.
So 89 is still going to sound a hell of a lot like the 80s,
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 89 was still.
And that's not the whole movie. That's just an interesting backdrop. Because usually when you're doing a spy movie in East Berlin, you're not thinking about that. But because it's right about the time the wall's coming down, they decided, well, let's have some fun with the soundtrack because this is the stuff that would be pumping out of the clubs in Berlin anyway. So
cool. I'm going to check it out.
But she's great. That's the thing. The movie, she is the movie, And James McAvoy is in it too. That's the other name I was thinking of. James McAvoy.
I always like James McAvoy.
And all I'll say is this is a character completely different from Professor Xavier. So check
it
out. It
has 99 lift balloons in it. So how can it be?
Are you looking at the soundtrack right now?
Yeah, I did.
What tracks are there? Will it ruin anything when we find out what tracks?
No, not at all. And what's funny is these aren't even bands that I necessarily like, but
it really
sets the time and the place. Because I thought, generally speaking, this is a lot of the stuff I didn't like about the 80s. All those sort of like
the very popular ones.
Those Depeche Mode type band, Pet Shop Boys, that sort of
Flock
crap.
Flock of Seagulls.
A lot of synthesizers. I didn't like that kind of music, but for the movie, it really sort of sets the scene. It sets the backdrop, the world they're sort of like operating.
Okay.
Yeah.
David Bowie.
Okay, what do you got? Let's hear the soundtrack.
Okay, so we've got Cat People, David Bowie.
Putting Out the Fire with Gasoline. This is the second movie that has used that because Inglourious Basterds used
that.
That's
right.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say that, that's a song Quentin Tarantino said, that's a song that was virtually thrown away when it was used in the Cat People movie. They used it over the closing credits. And he put it in Inglourious Basterds because he said, I'm going to give this great song a great moment in the movie that really matches. And so here it is, the second time they've used this. It's in a key part of this movie. And this is a second director who said, this song deserves better.
Love it.
Yeah.
It does.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. Cities in the Dust, Susie and the Banshees.
Okay.
George Michael's Father Figure, which that one did make me laugh. I'm sorry. I Ran, So Far Away, Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah, which would have been 82, but it was still around. It was still in the ether.
Popular, yeah.
And also, it's East Berlin. Some of that stuff's going to hit later.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Yeah.
The Clash, London Calling, obviously.
There we go. Nice, nice.
Till Tuesday, Voices Carry.
Oh, okay.
Which, yeah, that one kind of surprised, yeah, me. Reflex, The Politics of Dancing.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
yeah. So, yep. And then, of course, they had to have Der Kommissar after the fire, because, yeah, you have to have that. I mean, come on.
And you hear that a couple times. There's a couple of those you hear, the German versions and the English, yeah, yeah, language versions.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Major Tom.
Oh.
Yeah. And then they even had a Marilyn Manson one in there, believe it or not. His Stigmata.
Oh, the early version of Stigmata is...
he's covering somebody's song.
Yeah, Stigmata, yeah, is...
is that Bauhaus or...
Is it Depeche Mode? No,
it's... No.
I heard they had a new guy doing an old song, so no, maybe that's it.
Stigmata is just Stigmata.
Oh, the band?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think they threw a couple things in there that were a new version of an old song.
Well, they did... Somebody Health, all in caps, did Blue Monday.
And that was a New Order song.
That was a New Order jam, yep.
Yeah.
That was the New Order song.
Yeah.
So yeah, good soundtrack.
It worked for the movie, you know.
Well, I'm going to have to check it out, John. Now, I saw another, I didn't mean to be dismissive there, but I'm just thinking, you and I both saw Dunkirk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my big news is I think Dunkirk may have moved into the top spot for my favorite movie of the year.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah.
What was in your top spot last week?
Get Out.
Yeah, yeah.
And Get Out's been up there, like, yeah, entrenched.
Yeah.
Baby Driver came at it.
That's right. You said that Baby Driver almost supplanted it. Yeah,
yeah, boy.
Hell of a movie, wasn't it?
It was. I know a couple of people that kind of warned me about it and said that they really didn't like the style that he used. It was almost like a documentary style. Mm. And that there was really no characters to grab onto. But I think he did that on purpose. But this is the movie that kind of reminds me the most of kind of a... We've talked about this when you and I discussed Lawrence of Arabia, how there's a certain coldness to it. There's a certain antiseptic style that David Lean used. Mm-hmm. And these, you know, the character is so... And so there's not really a character to grab onto, but the whole film is kind of cold in that way. You know, obviously it's shot in a way that's, you know, it's, you know, you're dealing in a cold environment anyway.
It's like you're there. It almost makes you a character.
It's very, yeah, exactly. You're,
and that's unusual.
Yeah. And so, and
he plays with time too.
And exactly. And a really creative, he figures out a really creative way to tell this story.
Yeah.
And, I feel like it's Nolan, this is him getting very close to being like a Stanley Kubrick. It, mm-hmm, kind of had that feel of like a Stanley Kubrick movie.
As big and cold as it is, there's some very intimate moments. You're like in their laps. There's things happening where you're like right there.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why he didn't have you following somebody so much all the time. So it kind of puts you in the action, especially since he is playing with time. You've got a story that's being told over the course of a week. And another story is told over the course of a day, and another story is told over the course of an hour, and it keeps cutting back and forth.
And they all intersect eventually at one time. And if you're really sharp and you're watching, there's scenes where you realize, hey, that's
when it's happening.
This hasn't, yeah, happened yet, or hey, isn't that?
And it's not sort of done goofy or flashy, like maybe like Pulp Fiction or something, where they're, you know what I mean, where you're like, hey, look how clever that is. It's more like they are just intersecting. And if you're sharp, you'll see where they're intersecting.
Yeah.
But the big thing for like history buffs and people that care about history is this is an amazing, huge event that hardly anybody knows about. I certainly didn't know about it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until reading about it. Now, finally, of course, there'll be a lot of books coming out that'll take advantage of this. And they say, you know, all those men saved went on to fight other battles.
Yeah.
If they'd all been wiped out, which could have happened easily, that would have been it. But they all went on to fight in other battles.
And what's amazing is there are hints about – they talk about how – well, why isn't the fleet coming? Well, yeah, we have to save them in case they need to defend.
You have to really listen because it's almost murmured. You have to really listen to what's going on. A lot of the explanation of what's happening is from Kenneth Branagh, who's great. But it's almost like they don't punch it up. So you have to really listen because he explains why the bigger ships aren't getting,
yep,
in and why they're not getting more air support. And
they're saving it all, and it,
you kind of have to meet it halfway and listen because there are explanations.
And it ends up being, you know, historically speaking, obviously the planes they didn't use went on to fight the Battle of Britain and keep you know, England afloat until,
yeah,
the United States eventually enters the war.
And I'm sure there were men that went on to fight in D-Day, you know,
yeah,
that if they'd been lost that day, what was it? Almost 300,000 men,
yeah,
were saved. And sending all those small boats, I mean, holy cow, that was the only way to get them out of there.
Yeah.
Who would have even thought of that? So here was this like big retreat, but they said no, this was out of the jaws of death. You know, they all went on, you know, to save the day.
This has to be one of the arrival last year. I thought was one of the most well shot movies I had seen.
Oh yeah,
just some really and this.
I agree.
This movie here had a lot of really just. You know, there's that, not to spoil it, but there's that scene at the end when the plane is gliding gliding along the beach and you can see, you see everything. The depth of field is astonishing.
Yeah.
And there's some of those scenes where they're out over the open water and or they're out on the ocean. And some of the, just the way he, you know, just the way it's shot.
Yeah, he's a hell of a filmmaker. I know some people that I didn't see it in IMAX. I know some people that saw it in IMAX and just said, this is the kind of movie you want to see in IMAX.
Yeah, I need to see it. I need to see it again in IMAX.
Because I was trying to find a theater that had it in 70 millimeter because I heard that there was even a difference with that and I just couldn't, I couldn't do it. I wanted to catch it on a certain day. I had to go digital. But they're starting to do that now. Only Christopher Nolan and Spielberg and Quentin Tarantino have the kind of clout where they can do that. There's only a few theaters that are equipped for 70 millimeter film projection. You can't really find many places that have a film projector anymore, but those are the three directors I think that have been doing it the first couple weeks. They'll say, if you look for it, there's three theaters in LA that will show it in 70 millimeter. And Dunkirk was one of them.
Go see it. If you haven't seen it yet, go see it. It's just,
it's a hell of a history lesson because it really is this, you know, everybody's heard of D-Day. I don't think, you know, most people have not heard of Dunkirk unless you're British. They say they do teach that.
Well, of course they're going to teach it.
Well, they say every school kid in England knows about Dunkirk. That's their big moment.
You know? I happen to know about it just because I'm a huge World War II nerd.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was one of those things that,
so you know all about it.
It was kind of, well, not a lot of the, not all the details, but this really shed some light on some of the, and of course, you know, as with any movie that, you know, tries to be historically accurate, there were people left out. So some people were saying, hey, you know, Nolan kind of minimized the role of the French are the whole reason they were able to escape in the first place. But it's hard to do. You're not, you know, he's really focusing on this one area of the, he's really focusing on the evacuation itself and not
you
really.
You kind of have to pick your moments. Every movie that deals with history, you kind of have to pick somebody's going to fall out by the wayside. And you just have to figure out how to do it. Yeah. But it's funny. I was at a theater yesterday, to see another movie, and an older guy walked up to me and he said, oh, were you here to see Dunkirk? I said, oh, no, I saw that last week. And he was all, wow, this is really something. He says that you see so many kids coming out. And I said, yeah, because this is the guy that directed all the Batman movies. And he said, oh. I said, yeah, this is like the number one movie for 2 weeks straight. This movie knocked Spider-Man out of the number one spot.
Yeah.
And I said, it's really something because most kids don't give a crap about history. But now they're going to see this thing because it's Christopher Nolan. And they may develop an appreciation for – they may go out and pick up a book on Dunkirk, you know.
This is the first movie of this type that Christopher Nolan has done.
He did
The Prestige. He did Memento. Mm-hmm. And this is him tackling like this a real world, more realistic movie, I think.
And it shows you there's nothing he can't do, evidently.
Yeah. I loved it. And so far now I think it takes my top spot. I mean, it's a close second between that and Get Out. Because Get Out was just such a – I was not expecting that, and I knew so little.
It was unexpected.
Yeah, it was new, so but it's still a well-made film as well. It's just, but
I just picked that up on DVD, so I'll be watching that.
You haven't seen it yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, please watch it. I want to get your want to get your reaction to it. Yeah. So let's get the kids back in here. Yeah,
hey,
go see
kids.
Dunkirk. So John, A+ for what do you give Dunkirk? What do you?
Oh A+.
I have one question I want to ask about Dunkirk, though.
Yes.
It didn't bother you that Harry Styles was in it?
I don't know who Harry Styles is.
Me neither. Me neither.
Oh,
which one was he?
I don't know.
He's one of the One Direction kids. He's the kid who
isn't it crazy? I don't even know. It's probably better that
it's
we didn't
the same
know.
Thing with the kid from that was in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, they.
Because when I heard that he was being cast in it, I was just like, why?
So which one was he?
I don't know because I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen the movie.
Isn't that great? It's neither one of us knew, so it didn't distract us.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
And I heard that he's not one of the leads. He's just in there.
Yeah,
and
John and I only listen to good music, so we this kind of stuff. This Ed Sheeran.
Well, I don't even know enough about him to know if he's good. I don't even know if he's good or bad. I just don't know who he is.
I don't know either.
It's like the guy. Yeah,
Alex. He plays Alex.
See, you don't know any other names.
You wouldn't recognize him by his picture because he doesn't look anything like he's set in World War II at all.
Look at John.
I know, I love it.
Squinty.
I'm trying to take the hair off him. He's got like long hair there.
Here, let me see. May I see?
I'm trying to think what guy that was.
Yeah, but that ad keeps wanting to pop up.
That might have been the guy that didn't talk. I think he was the Frenchman.
Oh, good. If he doesn't talk, then it's perfect.
That's the thing. I think that's the guy that – maybe. I don't know. But Christopher Nolan said it wouldn't be distracting because he's got a real part to play.
Yeah, I don't know.
But Game of Thrones, we didn't know who that Ed – what was
Ed
it?
Ed Sheeran?
Yeah, we're like, who? Which one was he?
How can you not recognize
Jake
him?
Jake was the only one that was mad because Jake gets jealous of anyone who can say.
I knew he had red hair, but that's all I knew.
Hello. Well, let's take a pause and we'll be right back. Right. We'll actually be back in a second. I'm going to actually – Jen, if you want to go over to that chair, hit the pause button on the bottom.
Stop.
Hey, we're back. That was a quick little – we just paused for a second. We have a few minutes to wrap everything up here, guys. But the big news – I don't know if you guys heard. There is some bad news this week. It's not all good news. It's not all Game of Thrones and – Why are you rolling your eyes over?
Because I can guess what you're going to say.
What am I going to talk about?
You're going to talk about 10 Day Larry?
10 Day Larry.
I don't know his real name. The guy was in...
Samucci.
Samucci for 10 days?
Scaramucci?
Oh, the Mooch. The Mooch.
No.
I love that, though. That was my favorite thing that happened.
Yeah, you know why? Do you know that if you bought milk the day he was appointed, it's still good
still
the day
good.
He was fired?
You know what the best part of that is? Scott Spicer is all, I'm still on the payroll.
Is that true?
Yeah, because he was like, he was going to stay on for the transition.
Right.
So Scaramucci wasn't even sworn in yet for that position, and Scott Spicer is still on the payroll.
You mean Sean Spicer.
Sean Spicer. Knew what you meant.
So Sean Spicer should be going, in your face, I'm still here, and you're gone after 10 days, I'm still punching the clock.
They should just
asshole.
Bring back. They should just bring back. No, that's not what I'm going to talk about.
Oh, what?
Sorry.
Oh, I know what you're going to talk about. Mario's all, will you let me talk?
No, it's not that. It's just this is hard for me to say.
June Foray died.
June Foray did die.
Rocky.
Now here's something I don't really like.
And now here's something we hope you'll feel really sad about.
That was a really good finish.
Hey, Ruck! Hey, Ruck!
And now here's something we hope you'll feel really like.
That's what he's doing right now. He's going, hey, Ruck! Because Rocky can't answer him.
Hokey smokes, Bullwinkle!
100, almost 100. She was just shy of 100 years old. I'm sorry.
99, right? Like,
she was 99, yeah. Geez. And some change, yeah.
Last I heard her, she was the grandmother in Mulan. That's the last voice I know she did.
She was the singing tree?
Yeah, Pocahontas.
No.
Oh, that's
Mulan.
Pocahontas.
Mulan.
Yeah.
We'll have you washed and dry. La, 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 la.
Don't sing that to
I was just
going to
say. Yeah. Be careful with okay.
Why can't we sing that song? Yeah. What's wrong with that song?
Sing it.
Is it a bad song?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Why don't you like it?
We'll let him bury himself.
Yeah.
Why?
What's the next? Oh, it must be the next lyric is going to get really bad.
Just the lyric you just sang was really bad.
What? The grandma sings that song. Oh, no, that's the grandma.
You're not a grandma.
No. You're not a grandmother.
Buy my park. Okay. I'm really sad because... they're not going to make Coke Zero anymore, guys.
Oh, no.
You guys,
I want you to explain to me what's the difference between Coke Zero and Diet Coke, though?
Coke Zero doesn't taste like liquid death.
And doesn't give you cancer.
But then how is it zero calories?
It's zero calories, zero sugar.
So what is in it? If there's no calories and no sugar, what's in it?
It's better. It's like, I don't know why they just don't replace Diet Coke with Coke Zero. Because
they tried that with New Coke and it didn't work.
Because Diet Coke, Coke Zero tastes exactly, it's just less sweet Coke.
Mm-hmm. So it's the only soda that a diabetic could drink, right?
No, you can drink Diet Coke, but if you want to...
You know, but it's bad
cancer,
for you,
yeah.
I wouldn't even give my dog Diet Coke.
Oh,
no. Bad.
Good Lord, no. What's the substitute? Is it
aspartame?
Aspartame gives... It gave my mother colon cancer.
Okay, and can I just tell you that my very first science project was on what Coke does to your teeth? You shouldn't be drinking it no matter what.
That's with the sugar.
I did it with Coke, I did it with Diet Coke, and I did it with Sprite.
Did you do it with Coke Zero?
They didn't have Coke Zero
there
back
you go.
In those days.
So why are they getting
They don't have Coke Zero in these days now
they're
anymore.
They're changing the formula. They're basically doing an 80s Coke, New Coke thing, and they're changing the formula. And here's the thing. The reason they're changing it is because people are too dumb to realize that Coke Zero means zero calories, zero sugar. So they have to change it to, I kid you not, the name of the new Coke Zero is going to be called Coke Zero
One?
Sugar. Coke Zero Sugar.
Oh, my God. But is Coke, it going to be the same, or?
They're changing the formula.
But why change the formula?
I don't know.
Rebrand?
So are you going to do, like, are you going to buy cases of it?
Yes.
Remember people
Costco
bought,
has it.
They bought,
I know.
In the 80s, they bought cases of Coke and buried it.
And Coke never tasted the same. Coke never tasted the same after they changed the formula and then brought it back.
I thought that was because of the cane. They weren't using cane sugar anymore.
That's what it was, yeah.
That's because they didn't put cocaine in it anymore.
No, that was,
they
that
stopped
was
like, that in 1901.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, darn.
Oh, Jen is talking. Weird. So, just kidding. I just wanted to say that's it. I just want to say goodbye to Coke Zero. And
so are you going
to
buy a whole bunch of it?
Yeah. And you guys are all going to buy, anytime you guys see it, you're going to buy a case and bring it to me as tribute.
When are they going to pull the plug?
This month. This month, yeah.
So you'll have to just really snap it up.
I'm going to snap it up.
Okay.
I'm going to buy some Coke Zero.
How long does that stuff keep its fizz?
We'll find out.
As long as it's
they've all got expiration dates on them. It's usually a couple months.
Is that when it goes flat?
Yeah, it goes flat.
It eventually goes flat, yeah.
Yeah.
I like when
it'll eventually go flat in the can?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of them have carbonation.
Beer goes flat.
And so does champagne eventually, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
No matter what, you're still going to get, you know, some gases escaping.
You don't say, Patrick.
There's always leakage.
That's what Donald Trump is mad about.
Whoa.
What happened? Whoa. By the way, guys, I love you all.
Are you going to do the Trump? Do you like that?
The Trump dump?
Because I just wanted to point out that the other day I was listening to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have it now. I was like, oh, you stole that.
Thank you for noticing that. I'm going to write a letter.
Do they call it the
Trump dump? I cannot say it.
That's a Trump dump.
I hate him that much.
Yeah.
Trump dump.
The Trump dump.
You don't love Trump?
Dump Trump.
You're a big teacher. Why wouldn't you love him? Are we allowed to say that you're a teacher?
Oh, yeah. I don't care.
Okay.
Hello, I have tattoos. I balk at everything that is supposedly proper.
How much wooden jewelry do you have?
Wooden jewelry? Not too much.
You have some, though, right?
I do have
some.
What is
that? Because you're a teacher.
is that a teacher thing?
Yeah,
it is the teacher thing.
They wear wooden jewelry.
We have like these cute little like themed necklaces, and
I did
get rid of all my romper dresses, though. You'll be proud of me.
Do you have any American flag ones?
A romper dress?
I told you guys I had my first romper sighting. My first
dude
romper sighting.
What's a romper?
Oh, yeah, that...
Short shirt connector.
Think of what.
A onesie.
Think of a onesie for grown-ups.
Yeah, think of what Sean Connery wore in the beginning of Goldfinger. It's like that terry cloth.
Yeah.
It's shorts and like a jumper, like in one. Yeah. Those are in fashion for men now.
That's called a what?
A romper.
A romper.
A romper.
Yeah, so you can romper around. Take a dump.
That's the next. Yeah.
So then you need Trump.
That's a thing for straight men?
Yeah. That's the next big thing after, man buns and...
man buns.
Man buns. So over those.
So it's for hipsters.
Probably. I don't know.
Those are more for like rich white boys.
Yeah, the guy wearing it... The guy I saw wearing it looked like he listened to a lot of Pitbull. That's all I'm going to say. He looked like he's listening to a lot of...
You know, they made a Ken doll that has a man bun now. I'm like, I can think of better things for you guys to give Ken doll than a man bun.
I still don't understand.
It goes back to the Game of Thrones.
Yep.
Man buns on soccer players, though, are really nice.
No.
Why?
Because soccer players, they just have nice bodies.
Yeah, but they don't need a man bun.
So it doesn't matter what their hair is doing.
There you go, the body.
No, but here's where I'll give it to them. They only put it in the bun when they're playing.
Yeah.
Most soccer players.
That's true.
So it's functional.
But I think that's where it came from.
But here,
everybody else looks like an idiot.
They do.
There's only one man allowed to wear a man bun. And that man is Toshiro Mifune, and he's dead.
Okay.
Everybody else, that's it.
Yeah, if you're Japanese, you can have a top knot. That's
okay. That's it. Yeah. Patrick, you're awfully quiet. Are you thinking of growing a man bun?
I had one.
He had one.
What?
You don't remember that?
His hair was long.
It's almost
there.
He used
to take all of my
fingertips.
It's
getting really long again.
See, look, I could do a...
You can do it.
That's like a top knot. Yeah.
Well, how do you feel about this right now, Justine? I can see it in your face.
He's taken my stuff. Right now, he's taking like my, what do you call those headbands?
When I don't
like
style
the elastic
my hair.
We need to have a conversation.
So when I don't like style my hair, this is what it looks like. It's all crazy and wild.
Emma, how
do you feel about a man bun?
Oh, if they can pull it off, absolutely.
You want to sit down or you leave?
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
She's just coming to visit
us. There's that guy that does a show and he has a man bun. He's some blonde guy. I don't know his name. It's some show on like TMC or AMC or something.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
TMC and AMC, two different channels. What? They're very different channels.
Are they very different?
What's the show about?
I think he's a knight.
It's got to be on AMC.
Probably AMC. I'll figure it out.
Is it Badlands?
Is that the one where the girl goes back to Scotland?
Oh, Outlander?
Yeah. 17.
Maybe, I don't know.
Right. Oh, did you see William Shatner got into a big old thing about he went off on social justice warriors because of... he got into some discussion because he likes to troll the fans of Outlander.
Speaking of Shatner shitting the bed.
He had this whole thing all week. He had this war on Twitter. Really? He was being a real jerk, too.
Well,
he's being a real jerk.
William Shatner.
Going to be at Long Beach Comic Con.
When is that?
September 2nd and 3rd.
Are you guys going?
Yeah, you want to go?
Yeah.
What day is it?
Saturday, Sunday.
Who is that?
There's a rub.
Yep. Just get the time off right now.
There's the rub. All right. Let's wrap this up, guys. If you get a chance, if you're near... If you get a chance to go see Mystery Science Theater live, I saw it this weekend, or 2 weekends ago.
Where was that?
It was at the Ace Theater downtown. I had never been there. It's on Broadway, right there in the theater district.
It used to be the United Artists, right?
Yeah, it used to be the UA, and it's now part of the hotel.
So how was it?
Have you been in there since they remodeled it?
I haven't.
I have photos here. They are fantastic.
Wow.
The live show was incredible.
Mm.
Everything you wanted, the puppets.
Wow. Really?
They brought them out.
Have
they
ever done that before? With the puppets?
They hadn't mounted it before. They hadn't mounted that show before, but not in this iteration.
You must have felt like you were in heaven.
It was great.
You must have felt like you died and gone to heaven.
I saw the great Jimmy Pardo there.
Really?
I saw the great Weird Al Yankovic there.
Oh.
So it was fun. It was a fun
time. Did you
from
the crowd yell at Jimmy, "Hey, Jimmy, I know you!"
I did that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, did Nicole go?
My wife and my daughter went, and they had a great time.
What movie did you guys
watch?
They
loved it. There was one called John Will Know This. I can't reveal the secret movie because there is a secret movie. There's two. It's two ticketed attractions. The first movie, I will tell you after off air what it was.
Okay.
The first movie was a 1960s low budget movie called Iga with the great Richard Kiel, who you know as Jaws in the James Bond movies.
I went to go say Iga.
He plays a caveman.
Yeah.
Plays a caveman.
It's kind of like a teenage caveman. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's. The worst.
When was it made?
It was in like 63, 64.
So you know that's a good movie.
Is that American International?
It was even worse. It was some independent guy.
That's so great.
And he cast his son in the role of like the teenage kid. And Iga. Did you go see Mystery Science Theater live?
No, I wanted to, but I couldn't.
Emma.
I saw that you went, though.
Emma, you what?
I saw that you went.
Emma's here for our last minute.
What is the reason you can't reveal the other movie?
Because it's a secret, and it's still touring.
It's a secret amongst the people. That
it's still, yeah, there's a secret show. That they haven't revealed what movie it is, and they want to keep it a secret, so I'm not going to say it out here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that would be a bummer if you went then you...
Yeah, if somebody happens, like one of our three listeners is in Muncie, Indiana,
okay,
and they're there next.
All right.
Yeah. But it was fun. It was great. The puppets, they did the segments.
Wow.
Joel was there, the creator.
Wow.
It was awesome. Fun. It was good. It was a good show.
Was you would have loved it.
I would have. I wanted to go, but I couldn't get to it.
Greatest night of my life, probably that, then wedding, then birth of my daughter.
Oh, my God.
Here we go again.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Dad.
Yeah. Kirk Gibson's home run, 88. I haven't mentioned it on the show, but the Dodgers are having a phenomenal year. We just swept the Giants. That was fantastic. In the most dramatic way possible.
And we are all so excited for you.
It's their best record in like 100 years.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's their best record in, it's crazy.
They have never played this
in the history of the Dodgers.
Huh?
They have never played
this. Best record in the history of the Dodgers.
Yeah, they are something like 12 games ahead of the Cubs in the National League. They're 30 games ahead of the Giants. And they're 12 games ahead of their closest competitors in the division.
Wow.
They're playing well, and it's
so. What's your prediction?
I don't make predictions. They got a big trade. They got Yu Darvish, a pitcher from the Rangers, that made their team only better. But it's baseball, and with the playoff system now, it rewards the team that gets hot at the right time. So the Dodgers have been consistently great, but that has not been no guarantee of a World Series in the past. So I'm just enjoying a record-breaking season. It's been fantastic and amazing, and it's
wow.
If you get a chance, those of you who aren't in the area because you have Time Warner, do whatever you can to see a game. Go to a game. Have fun. Go Dodgers.
Eat a Dodger dog.
Eat a Dodger dog.
Oh, who's announcing now?
Joe Davis, young guy by the name of Joe Davis, really good announcer. He's not quite going to be Vin Scully because they have him paired up now. They have him paired up with the great Oral Hershiser, the Bulldog.
Well, hello.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. Oh, you're an Eagles fan, huh?
Yes, I am an Angels
That's
fan.
Fine. Mm-hmm. You could be an Angels
yeah,
fan.
Yeah, they were playing the Red Sox later. Mm-hmm.
They were playing the Phillies yesterday.
It's not like being a Giants fan where that's a sin.
Oh, that's just stupid.
Or a Red Sox fan where it's just
I'm pretty
not
sure
heard
me being an Angels fan, it's a bone of contention for Mario.
No, it doesn't bother me.
See?
It's different
it's
division.
The Giants.
He doesn't spit on you when he walks by.
No, you know who it bothers?
Okay, good point.
You know who it bothers? It bothers the Angels fans. The Angels fans
are bothered by Dodgers.
Bothered by Dodgers fans more than the Dodgers don't care.
Dude, every time I would come in and I'd be wearing anything Angels, you would give me hell.
Yeah, because it's ugh. It's just ugh.
That's a solid argument.
Everybody looks better in Dodger
Touché.
Blue. Everybody looks better in Dodger Blue. It's true.
I do look better in blue.
Yeah, see? Everybody does.
Me. Patrick, I'm with you.
What is the show going to?
I don't know. I love it.
It's the Mario Radio Hour.
Baseball. Why are you mad at me?
I'm just kidding.
I did less talking this hour than I did last hour. I finally get to talk. When you go back and listen to the Game of Thrones segment, see who was doing all the talking.
That's true. You were doing all the talking,
yeah,
Patrick.
Yeah, because you were getting sidetracked playing with your ding-a-ling. Yeah. You don't do that on air, okay?
Then he tried to give it to John.
Somebody's still sensitive about those comments his girlfriend made.
She is.
Yeah.
I think we do need to have that podcast.
Yeah, we need to talk. We need
so
to fix
weird.
You. Need it needs to be like
podcast
the Office
After Dark.
It needs to be like.
And yeah, you can turn. Yeah, it'd be like Jamie T. Turn the lights down and go. Okay.
It needs to be like the Office where you tape him and tell him what he did wrong. That's what it needs to be like.
All right. No.
So for my friend Justine, for my friend Patrick, for my friend Emma, anything to recommend this week? TV shows, movies, books? Albums? Jenna?
Concerts?
Really into Hozier lately.
Into what?
Hozier.
What's that?
It's an artist. He's an artist.
Tell us about
him. Yeah, he sang the Take Me to Church song. If you remember that. I know, I just smacked my gum really loud.
That's cute. It's cute when you do it. Not so much when I do it. I'm going to check him out. Spelled S-O-H-E-R.
He has that deep voice.
Yeah, he has that really deep voice. It's
deep
like
voice.
If you want to just kind of just sit down and relax.
Oh, he's going to play it for us.
Yes, this is him.
Play
and
it for
him.
Me, please.
Is it playing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm out.
No, you'd like it, I think.
It's really...
Mario wouldn't like it.
John and I
really
are looking at each other.
Chill music.
John and I are looking at each other.
It can barely...
Bring out your dead!
Bong! Bring out your dead!
Bring out your dead.
Hold on. Gotta get him to sing.
He's
that's
half
hard
a second, yeah.
Bring out your dead.
So this here, like comes,
make,
here comes.
This is
here
like make out music.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just relaxing music.
Okay.
Do you have a problem with that?
No.
Wait. I can't hear this. Oh, I like his voice.
He's got a great
voice.
Think
about
my baby. Again, I think he
I'm not sure about that arrangement, though. I don't know if that's my cup of tea. I like his voice.
He's soulful.
Yeah. What's funny is I surprised my friend with tickets to him. Hey, you want to turn that down a little bit?
Sorry. My bad.
Somebody got in a moment.
Sometime last year, I surprised my friend with tickets to him, and I wasn't super into him. And I didn't end up being able to go because I was in Kansas. And so she went, and then like now all of a sudden I'm super into him, but he's like not making any new music lately.
Why?
I don't know. He kind of
taking a break.
Yeah, he kind of just took a break. He got really popular off of Take Me to Church, and then
John, you heard 30 seconds of it. What do you think?
It sounds like makeout music. That's there's nothing wrong with that. That's what it sounds like, though. I guess they don't call it makeout music anymore. It's like 2017, right?
Necking music.
Necking music. Yeah.
What is it?
Heavy petting.
Netflix and chill.
That's it.
Justine's making a face.
His songs
I like him.
Kind of have the same sound.
Yeah, right,
I'm gonna look into him. Harry Styles.
That just sounded more
Harry Styles. Well, Jenna, anything you recommend? Books, movies?
I'm still completely hooked on my favorite murder podcast. I cannot. I'm almost done.
Oh, it's,
catching up on all of them.
She was a guest on Jimmy Pardo. I can't think of it right now.
Karen or Georgia?
Karen Kilgariff.
Yep. They're just I don't know. I just really can.
She's hilarious.
They're hilarious,
she's
but
hilarious.
They make murder interesting.
Yeah, well, Sherlock Holmes did that too, and he didn't need a podcast. John, anything you're into?
Oh, just check out Dunkirk and Atomic Blonde. Yeah,
yeah.
Two very different movies. Atomic
Justine, you want to leave us with anything?
Very different.
I'm just car shopping right now.
What are you looking
Ooh.
For?
We went to pretty much every dealership and looked at all of their SUVs.
Were you looking for a red Subaru?
It was such a long day.
Why did I go to Subaru?
You're looking for an SUV?
I did try the Impreza. Yeah. I couldn't get over it that it wasn't. It was just a car, not an SUV. I couldn't get over that.
Why do you want an SUV?
Yeah, because I already drive an SUV. I'm just used to my height, and I'm used to the space. Mm. So when I was in the car, I felt like it was still smaller, but it's probably not.
So is it you can't find anything you like, or it's too expensive? Or?
No, I've just settled with the... Or not settled. I was choosing between the Honda CR-V and the Mazda CX-5.
Neither of those are high.
But it's the CR-V that I look like. I looked at it and I was like, it's still kind of boring.
They are boring.
Are they not making them as high off the ground?
No, they're really cool. Like, yeah. On the inside, I loved it. The inside was nice. The backseat had a lot of room. But one drove past me and I just realized, I don't want that car.
Boring. I'll let you borrow my Wrangler for a day and you'll be sold.
But yeah, it drove past me and I was like, I didn't even think about it anymore.
Patrick, what do you want?
Oh, I wanted her to get the Impreza. It was beautiful. And it drove like a dream. It had all the space she wanted, but it was a car.
How much was it?
27.
It wasn't that too bad.
I'm going to buy that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw
it. It was really nice.
We looked at the Outback and the
super nice. All the safety features.
Crosstrek is
the problem with the Subaru wagons. They all look like they're station wagons. So they're
just like in the 30s, though.
Yeah, yeah.
When I can get another car that has more.
Get the Hyundai one.
No,
we went to Hyundai.
We drove a Santa Fe when we went up north, and it was nice, but not impressive.
Just get like the big one. Get like the Expedition or the Suburban or something.
No, I can't drive that.
$70,000.
I stood next to another one. I'm like, I'm too little for this. Like, it's just too big.
Well,
I have so many blind spots.
Yeah, that is a problem. See, I had to go from a truck to a car, and now I like driving a car. It was a big transition for me, but I'd rather now that my gas, everything is so much better.
That's the key.
Yeah, I don't mind it because I'm a big guy, so I never feel like oh.
But I think the SUVs now are a lot better with gas than like mine's an 06 and it just eats it up.
Okay.
But well, I think the newer cars are supposed to be better.
If you have a suggestion for Justine's car, we're going to go to @SoupComplex on Twitter or go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/SoupComplex, SRUP Complex. Patrick,
yo,
you got anything?
No.
All right. All right, guys. Well, this is a great show. I love you. Emma, thanks for sitting in for 10 seconds.
You're welcome.
Jenna, thank you for sitting in for 10 seconds. John, thank you for being here as always. Justine, Patrick, I missed you guys last week.
Missed you too.
All right. So for everybody, we will say this transmission. And no, first we say fight the power. Then we say this transmission ends now.
I think he's having a stroke. I hope this is on. I swear.
I'm actually recording.
All right. Yay.
There we go. And a one, and a two, and a one, two, three, four.